Hey guys, you all good? Everybody good? Yeah, you happy? It's pretty quiet. You sure you're not scared that I came up here to correct you or anything tonight, right? I came to cheer you all on. No, I was enjoying your mission statement. It's over there too. I was just reading that. Let's make sure if you come here that this is really good. This is really good. Like, whew. I'm going to cry right out of the gate. We got to make sure that everything we're doing in Christ is full of purpose. It's not really circumstances that discourage you. It's your perspective in the midst of them. Yes. See, everybody has stuff going on. We all went through something this last year people talk about, but I have a hard time. I just said to my wife, I have a hard time talking about it because I don't feel like I went through anything. Now, I know some people got affected with their jobs and some people might have got COVID. So that's a little different. So I'm not trying to sound insensitive, but like inconvenience is no big deal. Like, here's what we'll learn. In time, we'll realize this, but let's get it now. Like, no matter what we're going through, what we're experiencing, world news, real situations, nothing changes the purpose of God, why Christ is in us, and what he did, and why he did what he did. So, if you're discouraged, it's your perspective in the midst of your go-through that's allowing the discouragement. Somebody could go through the same thing with a different view and come out of it totally different. So you have to make sure you have a healthy perspective in your life, that you love not your own life unto death, and that you're actually seeking first the kingdom of God. These are scriptures, by the way, that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah? So it's very, very important. So I love the mission statement because it's a selfless one. It's full of purpose. Like tomorrow, we're doing services tomorrow. We have two, and I talk about it every Sunday, so maybe I can get it out of the way now, but I'll probably still say it because there'll be new faces. But you never just come to church because you go to Central and it's when they gather. You have to come with purpose. Come in fellowship with God. Come in relationship and bring him. Bring your relationship. Come to stay sharp and focused. Like, we're supposed to be an army. Our lives really do matter. Jesus, this word brother brought forth about the light. I mean, come on. There's always darkness. It's never about darkness. Light's greater than darkness. So I'm going to look at a scripture. When that word came forth, I felt like we needed to look at a scripture. I appreciated that word because you can get your eyes on darkness real quick. And yet the light's in you. And you can just pray for the darkness to change or the situation to change. And you can pray. But God wants to be so much more personal. He wants to live in you. He wants to love through you. He wants to shine through you. So this is the, if you can't see that, if it's not lit up enough, it says our mission is to produce a unified family of believers being, I love this, transformed by Jesus and empowered to live supernaturally while advancing the kingdom of God everywhere we go. That's powerful. That's so well, powerfully written, scripturally written. That could be the mission statement for the Church of Jesus Christ, period. Like, everybody should just take yours because it's his. Powerful. See, because you could just come to church because you like the church family, you like community, it feels safe, you're loved here. Breath of fresh air, break from your everyday, whatever. I mean, people have a lot of reasons that they go to church. But that's why you're here. So that you walk in the light as he's in the light. So that you let your light so shine before men that they actually see the light. They see your life lived and they know it's God and they begin to give him glory. That's phenomenal. That sure beats doing a church service. Like, we're not just here to pay homage to God. We're here to be sharpened and edified and empowered. Yeah. Man, I forgot how good your voice was. I mean, I could come here just because his voice is incredible. Like, that could just trick you. I was like, wow, I forgot. I don't know how I could forget. You really have a gift in your voice. Oh, my goodness. Let's look at this. Isaiah. This is the word that came forth. I just want to look at this. This was on my heart. I don't know. I'm in churches all the time, but I was just in a church this weekend. I think it was in Seattle this past weekend. And I think we went there then, but this was recently on my heart. So it's still fresh. It's always fresh. Who knows tomorrow this will be fresh? Like I can never get tired of Jesus loving me, righteous in his sight, accepted in the beloved. Yeah? It's never old. It's never, okay, I got that, brother. No, you better live that, become that. It's fresh every day. Jesus loving me is fresh every day. Like his love will never fail. But you got to understand that time has no ability to change truth unless you let it. Truth's going to stay the same. You can let time change it, but it's the same. So you can let how you feel in, how you're logically assessing your situation. You can put a twist on truth. You can come from a whole nother side. But truth's going to be there. When we stand before Jesus in that day, we're going to find truth was always there. So we've got to... Okay, look, I'm coming out here now. I can walk out here, right? Yeah? Feels good, solid. I thought so. Can I challenge you a little with a smile? Yeah. Don't believe discouragement is normal. The kingdom of heaven doesn't even know what it is. It's not happening in heaven. Discouragement was never in Jesus. Could you picture Jesus discouraged? That's just like flipped out. The only reason we think it's normal is because it's all we've known since we were born. And a lot of us, it's what we've known even after we were saved. So we just think it's normal. We think everybody's going to have it. Everybody's going to do it. And everybody's going to be that way. And everybody's going to have their moment. But it can end for every believer when your perspective and your motive in life changes. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's just not think that that's normal. Let's challenge it. Here's the barometer the Lord has taught me with in my personal fellowship with God. If I weigh what I'm believing, feeling, thinking, if I weigh its fruit and look what it's producing, I can tell if it's God or not. I know that sounds simple on the surface, but think with me. If my belief system and what I'm believing and sitting in and feeling and expressing and manifesting isn't producing life, it can't be the truth. Yes. Amen. In the midst of everything that we all go through. Why am I talking like this? Because I want you encouraged. We're an army. That vision. We're a unified family. We're a unified family. We're going to look at a couple of things. You okay? Watch this. I want you to see this. Arise, shine. It's Isaiah 60. This is what came in my heart when you shared the word, brother. I felt like we were to read this, and I want you to see something that I saw really fresh probably a week ago and went, man, you know how you see, hear something and see something, and you're like, whoa, that's good. Like it grabbed me, right? Watch this. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Now, we've read this a lot, right? We know this. Most of us can quote this. You can quote this, John. Hey, your car was open, by the way. I opened it. No alarm or nothing went off. I just took a faith risk. I just opened it. And it opened. I went, praise the Lord. I was with Ethan. I said, hey, this young man that's keeping me at his home and we're hanging out. I don't know where he is, but he's awesome. And so I put the cooler in the back of your car and no alarm went off. That's straight up the Lord. I was wishing you'd tell me you locked it. And then I just opened it and it just opened. But you didn't tell me that. Man. I was just thinking I just had that much favor. Arise, shine, for your light has, and the glory of the Lord is risen where? You got to take this stuff personal. You know what I like taking personal? Nobody comes to him unless he's drawn by him, and here we are with a desire for him. He must want you. Why would he draw you if he didn't want you? Come on, this stuff sounds simple, but it's so powerful. It'll impact you. It's life-changing. Nobody comes to the Father unless he's drawn. And here we are on a Saturday night having a desire for more of him, to know him, to be with him, to worship him. He must have been drawing some folks. Now, if your spouse drug you here, your parent made you come, and you don't feel like you want to be here, he's still going to be drawing you. It's coming. So watch this. The glory of the Lord's risen upon who? upon you. Okay, now he gives us a heads up. He gives us a heads up. He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But, so he doesn't even want you to camp there. He's just giving you a heads up. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. It's not always about just light everywhere you go. Everybody's not just in love with Jesus. Some people are mad and miserable, stuck in unforgiveness, full of self-centeredness, conceit, pride, competitiveness. All that stuff that Jesus isn't, we were trained by. So the Christian life is being transformed by who? By Jesus. It's right in your vision. Transformed by who? Why? Because you're going to look to him. You're going to consider him. You're going to look to him. You're going to consider him. We learn from him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He said, take of me and eat of me, right? He said, learn of me. So we're going to look to him and we're going to learn and we're going to understand. So being transformed by Jesus can be the grace of God, just the supernatural working of God as you yield and surrender. It can also be following his life and seeing it in him and believing it can be found in you. Are you with me? Like he's the light of the world. And then he said for you to shine. This stuff is simple. He's the light of the world, but he told you to go and shine. Why? Because he's in you. Who he is in you. You're not just saved for a better day. You're not just saved for provision, circumstances, protection. You're saved to shine. Look, people don't draw to your protection. People don't draw to your provision. They draw to your light. Deep darkness is going to cover who? The people. But, don't you love that? Darkness covering the earth, deep darkness, people, but. In other words, he doesn't want you to get stuck there. But, you see what he's doing? He's giving you heads up. And saying, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. You know what the word glory really means? And he made seen any realized or known attribute of God. Any manifestation of who God is the glory of God revealed. Watch this. So his attitude will be seen upon you. His nature be seen upon you. His motives be seen upon you. His humility be seen upon you. His goodness seen upon you. Anything that he is revealed is the glory of God revealed. Sometimes I think we think this stuff is just mystical, spooky, spiritual language. Like the glory of God. Who knows, you could do a 3-day conference on the glory of God. And cover a lot of stuff in scripture. Very simply put, the glory of God is any made seen, known, realized attribute of who God is. Watch. The Christ in you is the hope of what? Watch. The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known and realized. It's your vision. It's your statement. Transformed by who? He's the author and giver of life. He's the truth made manifest, the living epistle of love. He's the manifestation of God the Father. Guys, without his life, we wouldn't even really know who the Father is. Right? We know the Father because we saw Jesus. So good. The glory's going to rise on you. The glory of God's going to rise over you. His glory, but the Lord will rise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. Watch. Now here's what I want you to see. It doesn't say the Gentiles will come to your message. The Gentiles will come to your church service. The Gentiles will come to your light. Let me tell you what light is in today's world when you take this in 2021. It's your attitude. It's your perspective. It's the way you respond to things. It's how you see things. You don't let anything move you but the truth. And the truth keeps you free. And you might be going through one of the biggest challenges in your life, but you understand it's all for His great name. It's all for His namesake that you're going to stand strong, not budge, and you're going to shine through it all. And you're going to be seen for who He is in you in the midst of it, not just through your natural breakthrough. Come on. Because the goal is this. What's Jesus look like in the middle of my situation? And what can He look like in me and through me? So am I just a man overwhelmed with trouble now and I got a heart cry and a prayer and I'm at midnight hour? Or am I the manifestation of Jesus in the midst of my situation? Now watch. If we miss that, we're going to really, 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 really miss something that's vital and important, and that it's actually the whole purpose of it all. I know we get the idea in Jesus' love for me, and it's amazing, and I love preaching Jesus' love for me. But it's deeper than me just receiving what He can do for me and helping me get by or making it through this life. In fact, the greatest thing that Jesus does in His love for me is teaches me that to separate me from self-centeredness is to bring me to true freedom. Because He never made me to live for me, He made me live for His image. If He made me to shine, then I can't stay over here in self-centeredness that produces darkness. I can't stay in self-centeredness that has a platform for unforgiveness, hurt, brokenness, offense, discouragement, frustration, despair. All the things we relate to are hinged to self-centered focus. All the things you and I have called normal, our whole lives, are attached to self-centered focus. And none of those things have ever produced the kingdom, and nobody's going to draw to that and call it light. So guess what light is in the darkness? You know you're betrayed, and you don't live betrayed, and nobody knew you were betrayed, and find out what happened, and never knew when it happened. That gets people's attention, and they want to know what makes you tick and how could you, and where's my little buddy Ethan anyway? There he is. Hey, buddy. He's hiding behind a camera, but he's not hiding. He went through a situation. His coworkers realized what he went through, and they were freaking out because they were like, you went through all that? There's no way. How's that possible? Because he didn't change. And we were talking about on the way in and how great of a testimony. Like, that's the testimony. I think sometimes we think we just need a bullhorn and the courage to preach through a bullhorn to make people hear. No, that's the loudest gospel he could preach. That when people find out a situation and they can't even mark when it happened and how long it, because he never changed and he's continuing to shine, he's walking in the light as Jesus in the light, that gets people's attention. And they want to know how that's possible because they have no clue how they could live that way because they know what they'd be if they were in his shoes. That's called Gentiles coming to your light. Are you with me? Come on, it's really a big deal. To produce a unified family. We're going to look at that. Okay. In a second. I'll read that again in a minute. I just felt like the Lord just told me to finish this because I can't go there until I finish this. Watch this. The Gentiles shall come to your light. Uh-oh. And kings in that word there, it's just people of authority. When he uses the word king in the Old Testament, you look at that in the New Testament, it's really just implying authority because we don't have a whole lot of kings in stuff like that. It's a person of authority. Okay? People of authority to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. You could read on, but I think that's making the point. Darkness is never the issue. It's always about light. Light is greater than darkness. Nobody ever said, hey, could you turn up the darkness? If the room gets darker, it's because someone turned down the light. So darkness is never the problem. It's the absence of light. Now, here's what I want to convey to you in love tonight. We're not just talking about supernatural power here. We're not just talking about bam, pow, wop. We're talking about walking in the light. We're talking about attitude, motive, perspective. These are the things that get missed the most. We want the power of God. We want to see a healing. We want to see a miracle. Guys, they saw so many miracles in the Bible and their attitudes didn't change. In fact, if your attitude don't change, you could get in a fight over miracles. And somebody sees a miracle and somebody sees a miracle, they can fight over miracles. It has nothing to do with that's part of the finished work. That's a piece of what he accomplished. But I promise you, this vision, this whole transformed by Jesus, empowered to live. Before Jesus, we're dead. We don't even realize it. We're surviving. Guys, we got to make sure now that we're born again, we're not surviving. We're not in this thing for him to help me get by, get through, make sure I have enough, protect what I care about. You know, we're a dead giveaway because when people lose something dear to them, they change. They back off. They don't pray like they used to, have a hard time singing he's good. Let me just say it plain to you tonight. Just let me just say it real plain. If you're a Christian for your sake, you're in trouble. Life's going to eat you up. And you're going to live in a roller coaster world. If you're a Christian for you, you're going to not respond well when you're tried. You say, well, what else is there? You're a Christian for his name's sake. If you're truly a Christian for his name's sake and you died to yourself to live to his will and his purpose, changes everything. This person and this person go through the total same exact thing and come out totally different responses. And in time, this person gives up. This person even changes their view of God based on how life unfolded. This person already knows who he is through the life of Jesus and understands why they're on the earth, and nothing that happens in the outward can ever change what's on the inside. You see the difference? I'm trying to give you some practical examples. This person and this person go through the same thing from different places and come out totally different. And this person is sure they have a reason to be dismayed and discouraged and need a whole bunch of prayer. It's just a perspective that's allowing them to stay there. So until the circumstance changes, they have no hope of being okay. And as long as it stays the way it is, now he's even in question. Or their right standing, or what did I do wrong, or where did I open a door, or why is God allowing that? You ever see people in a quandary like that? We're supposed to know him. And I understand we're young in some situations and growing and things like that. But as soon as you see yourself in this place and it's not producing life, you got to back out and say, whoa, I need to relook at this thing because the way I'm thinking right now is not producing light and nobody's going to draw to this. Are you guys okay? Come on. Everybody talks about this whole last year and COVID and the whole political thing and all that. Listen, nothing has changed about why he lives in you. Nothing. Nothing ever will. And I'm not convinced that this year was all that bad. I'm not convinced. I know we think it's a real evil time we live in. I don't think we've seen much about how evil times yet. That's not really a prophecy. It's an impression. I think things are going to get a whole lot darker in some arenas. It's going to be a good test for us to come out shining and not lose your heart along the way. And not forget that you're not fighting flesh and blood. Your fight is the good fight of faith. Your fight is continuing to believe why he's in you, why you're here, that you're born for such a time as this, and you consider not yourself, but his great name. I'm convinced. I've said this ever since I've been saved and preaching, and as long as I can remember, I've been saying, if you're touchy, you're going to be touched. Yeah? But if you're selfless, the same situations will happen. You just won't be touched. Because you're going to respond for his great name. You're going to start walking in love. It's a spontaneous thing. It's life in the spirit. Supernaturally living. That's what supernaturally advancing the kingdom looks like. It's you becoming something through prayer. And it's the manifestation of your life without trying. Because it's where you live from. It's what you see. And what you see, you become, in the eye is the lamp of the body, and as a man thinketh, so he is. So you're not trying to apply Pastor Kurt's message in the moment of trial. If that's where you're at, praise God, but please don't keep living there. Learn and grow beyond and become the message, so when the trial comes, you have a response. So you're not stopping, looking, listening. There's no fork in the road. Are you with me? The Lord spoke it to me a long, long time ago to my heart. He said, I don't want you living Crossroads Christianity. I said, I don't know what that is, and I never heard that sermon. I didn't know what Crossroads Christianity was. He said, to where you always have a fork in the road and you have options. I don't want you to have options. I want you to have a single eye. He said, I don't want you to stop, look, and listen. I mean, praise God, if that's where we're at least we stop, look, and listen and make the right choice, hopefully, right? He's not saying that that's evil or bad or wicked. That's the best sometimes. But he didn't want me to believe that that's where I have to live, that I have options. It's a single eye. He wants me to become love, not try to find love in a moment of heartbreak, hardship, betrayal, treason. You following me? Come on, if you're in a terrible situation in life that demands a response, you can't just like stop and, okay, what's the last message I heard in this? Okay, yeah. Hey, everybody. That's probably not what we're talking about. All right. We're probably talking about becoming that thing in a place of prayer and yieldedness and faith in Jesus. It's called life in the Spirit. Does that make sense? I just know this from living this for years. You could just get in a phrase. I use this one a lot because if we would just get this in the whole weekend, it would just change everything. Nobody owes me a thing. Nobody owes me a thing. God, I so thank you. Nobody owes me a thing. Man, I don't do what I do to be appreciated. I do what I do because of love. Nobody needs to say a kind word. It's the truth. It's not wrong if they do, but man, it is not required. Wonder if you did that in all your service in the church. Wonder if you could never feel unappreciated again in your life because everything you did for his namesake and the sake of others, whether they appreciated it or not. Wonder if Jesus was hanging on the cross dealing with that. You know, I don't think they appreciate me. Come on. Could you possibly find Jesus in this place? Aren't we supposed to follow him? The things he did, we do if we believe. Any man that says he abides in him, 1 John 2, ought to walk even as he walked. 1 John 4, love is perfected in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we right now in this world. Come on, that's pretty similar. That's the same kind as. That's oneness. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Are you with me? Come on, it's a big deal. Could you picture Jesus just bummed out? Could you? Just hanging out, Mount of Olives, early morning, sun coming up. Peter snuggling beside him. Hey, Lord, don't hate me this morning. Peter, dude, would you give me, phew, Peter, you know, morning breath, give me some space. But Lord, I never saw you like this. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Look, I don't think you've ever been quite in my shoes, so don't try to give me all kinds of advice when you don't even understand. I mean, I appreciate you caring all, but don't think you're going to give me wisdom today. But Lord, what's wrong? Your countenance, I've never seen you look sad like it. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. I mean, day in and day out, I'm doing good. My motives are good. I'm healing the sick. I'm cleansing the leper. I'm casting out devils. I've raised the dead and they talk about killing me. Are you kidding me? These people. And then I multiply their food. I know it was cool. Yeah. But the point is this, Peter, you're missing it. It's not just because it was cool. They followed me the whole way over, got in all them little boats and found me. They tracked me down. And the only reason is they wanted more food. They could care less what I'm saying. They don't want to hear my words. They just want blessing. They're using me. I feel used all the time. Like, these people don't love me. They don't love me. Peter, they don't love me. Oh, Hosanna. Palm branches, they don't love me. Did anybody ever hear anybody act like this, talk like this? Has this ever been the course of thinking in any of our minds? Or am I just way off here? Right on. You will never see this chapter in your Bible. It's not because it was forgotten or not written. It can't ever happen. Why? Because he's Jesus? No, because he's love.
Yes. Amen. He is love. Amen.
See, if you say it's because he's Jesus, then you can't follow that. But if it's because he's love, you can become it. And the goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. What's the greatest? What's the whole purpose of the cross? To restore us back to the place of love. Not needing it, being it. Not needing it, being it. You and I have spent our whole lives needing loved. And unfortunately, some of us become Christians and still need it. Because it's not taught clear. And we think it's normal to need love the way we need it. But look what that produces. Heartbreak, hurt, failed expectations. You all with me?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it cool that you can just act out this skit about Jesus and know it ain't never happened? Could you picture that? That's so... Because he's love. He doesn't take account of a suffered wrong. Because he doesn't seek his own. Nobody took his life, Pastor. He gave it. Why? So he could put that same life in as many as would believe. Not to take them to heaven when they die. To put the kingdom of God here on the earth. Yeah? Now, will we be in that heavenly eternal place when we die? Of course, the Bible says so. Why? Because we're one with the eternal one and nobody's going to snatch us from the palm of his hand. So the way he created it from the beginning, death wasn't on the scene. Jesus just brought us back to that place. We make that the carrot and the motivation that we're never going to die. But the whole goal of the gospel is to get the kingdom back on the earth and transform your life back into love and get you out of darkness into the light, because you're either for me or you're against me. You know how we interpret that? We interpret that as you either prayed the prayer to go to heaven or you didn't pray the prayer to go to heaven. But either for me or against me could be a born-again Christian with a bad attitude. A born-again Christian that hasn't dealt with self-centeredness. A person that sees his need for a Savior and is sorry about his sins and getting forgiven of his sins, but won't become love. Still mad at his wife or husband. Still bitter at his kids for what they put him through when they were 18 to 22. Yeah? Come on, and you just ain't never going to forget. So what are you doing? You're not for him. You're working against him, and everything he wants to do through your life, you're working totally against his purpose and his will. Writing against your legacy instead of adding to it. Come on. Look, if your attitude isn't producing life, you're not thinking from the right place, I promise you. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. See, that's it. You're just thinking about you. What about what he went through? Have you ever been totally innocent in your life and hammered for being right and innocent and pure? Have you ever given your life for people no matter how they acted and treated you and didn't budge or flinch or change? That's Jesus. I think what he's been through ought to motivate us more than what we've been through. See, what we've been through is what motivates us. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, maybe you haven't looked long enough at what he went through to change your perspective, to change your identity. Because if all you do is look at what you've been through, oh, I'm going to bite my lip and say this, you don't get mad at me, you'll start feeling sorry for yourself, and then self-centeredness is at its highest point. Wonder if Jesus felt sorry for himself for a moment. I can't believe they're going to do this to me. Are they really going to have to do this? Come on, these people are crazy, man. I healed how many of their sick? Barabbas, I mean, come on, he killed a man. I'm raising the dead. They want to release him and crucify me. He's causing conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace here. And they want to kill me? I ain't cool with this. I mean, what would self-centeredness look like in Jesus? It would change all scripture. It would change everything. It would change his words on the cross. It would change everything. Think with me. And we'd all lose. Watch. And so would he. Because unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. So self-centeredness is alive. It's self-alive. When you feel sorry for yourself and you stay there, your highest hope is to get people to care about what you've been through and your story and how you feel. And then the highest grace you receive is that they seem to care about your story, but it'll never make you free. And then you'll try to find value through the fact that they care, and you'll cling to them just for superficial care. And your life will never change. And that's like a dim, dull shadow of what you're created to be. Like, that's not cool. I'm not being mean and sarcastic when I say this. Did you ever notice that people that stay in their hurt gather around themselves people that understand their pain? Yes. Not have an answer for it, they just relate to it. And they become their friends. Because they sympathize. Therefore, keeping them there. Because sympathy is a permission slip to stay where you're at. Because the highest grace you're receiving is that they care about me. It's not good. I mean, the teaching's clear, I know, but that's not good. Because he did not pay for you to live in that place, I promise. He said, follow me, and you don't ever see him there. So how can you stay there and follow him? Come on, this is simple. It's not rocket science. I want you to see something. To produce a unified family, look at Ephesians 4 real quick. Man, your mission statement up there got me, man. I read that thing. It was probably here the last time I was here. It just really got me. I was there in worship, and I looked up there and went, what? That thing is powerful. Ephesians 4. So there's gifts and there's offices in the body of Christ, right? Verse 11. Why are they in the body of Christ? Verse 12. Is it to build a conference around those giftings, to minister to us, to give us all a word, to pray for us, to pray for everybody to be healed? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Now, here's why I'm reading this. Watch. Till we all. How many? That's so good. Do you see how important you are to the scripture and the picture? Without you, we wouldn't have all. Come on. Without you, we wouldn't have all. Ugh. I'm simple like that. Without you, you couldn't say all. Come on. If we take a family portrait and you're not on the picture, somebody's missing. Wouldn't a family reunion be like that? If they all pile up and they line up and take the picture, who knows that somebody would notice that somebody wasn't on the picture? Wouldn't they at a family reunion? Why? Because they know their family. And they'd know they were missing. And they'd say, man, this ain't the same. I wish they could have been on it. People would taste talent. They'd be trying to Photoshop the picture in there, get their little face in there. They'd be looking through all their files and they'd be, oh, it'll fit right here. Boom. Hey, I didn't see her there. Well, she's on the picture. But to some people, that would mean something. Because she's part of the family. She wasn't there, or he wasn't there, right? Watch this. Till we all come to the unity of, doesn't say faith, to the unity of faith, it says the unity of what? That little word the is so significant. When he uses faith and puts the in front of it, they do it all the time, these guys writing by the Holy Ghost. I bet they knew what they were writing. They put the word the in front of faith a whole lot. See, when he's talking about having faith, or faith is a mustard seed, faith to move a mountain. Who knows that you can have faith to get a promotion? You can have faith that they pull your application out and actually hire you. You can have faith that you're going to find favor with an employer and get a job because you're ready and willing to work. Who knows that that's faith? Who knows that you can believe and have faith to be healed? But when he puts the word "the" in front of faith, it has nothing to do with that kind of faith that we're talking about. That kind of faith is a tool in your God belt that you get out called faith. But the faith is a totally different topic. Build up in the faith, obedience to the faith. There's places where he puts the faith. Satan, he's roaming around like a what? Roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, standing steadfast in... It doesn't say staying steadfast in faith. It says the faith. The faith is what you and I have become now that he came. It's what we're here for, what we're created for, what we've become, purpose. The faith is an all-inclusive term that has to do with the healthy perspective of a Christian that's living in Christ. In other words, you're identified through that faith. You have value through that faith. You have purpose through that faith because you understand the whole goal of your instruction is love, and you're going to let your light so shine before men. You're going to live out the faith. You're not going to be moved. You're not going to take account of suffered wrong. You're not going to take something personal because you took him personal. And you're going to live the faith. So here's what this is saying. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Isn't that something? Would you help me? Could you come here real quick? Would you help me? You okay? I did this on purpose. You'll get a chuckle out of this. So can you spin around and face everybody? Are you ever going to mix us up? Are you ever going to mistake us? Look, we're not only not the same gender. We got different ethnic backgrounds. We got different cultural backgrounds. There is so much diversity right here. Watch this. You ain't never mixing us up because we ain't nothing alike. But watch, we can both look just like him. And watch, that's what makes us one. And that's what makes us family.
Amen.
Ain't that awesome? Yeah? Come on. We can both look just like him. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of diversity right here. But diversity doesn't mean division. And he's not looking for uniformity. That's Hitler. Bad idea. Bad idea. He's looking for the unity of faith, where a woman coming from a totally different background and a man coming from a totally different background can both wake up in the morning with the same understanding, purpose, and motive in life in Christ Jesus. We can both wake up to love. We can both wake up to shine. We can both wake up to follow Jesus. And all of a sudden, both our lives look just like him. And that's what makes us one. So that's a unified family. So here you are saying, hey, I'm a part of Central Church. Okay, great. That's awesome. Sign up now if that's what you need to do. But here's what you're signing for. Watch. That we're going to wake up every day and pursue the reason Christ pursued us. And we're going to live out the purpose of Christ in us. And it's to shine. Now watch this. If the goal of your instruction is love and you're on the earth to shine, then anything that tries to hinder the light in your life has to be a deception, has to be a lie. Any attitude that keeps you from shining has to be wrong thinking. I'm talking about in the midst of trial, in the midst of trauma. Yeah? You aren't going to believe what I did tonight. I get out of Ethan's car. Remember my mole episode at your house? Uh-oh. Oh, did you hear her? Oh, well, this is way worse. She said, oh, no. I got out of Ethan's car in the parking lot to come in here and preach at 6:30, 6 something. And I was tight in the door and I turned and I raked the point of his door. I got a mole on the middle of my back. It's about the size of a fingernail. It's just... I was at their house and I was crawling under a tree because I was hunting. And I raked that thing. And I said, ooh, that hurt. I think I hit that mole or something. Boy, it just cut that mole off. So Rusty was my nurse because I was hunting. He was patching me up every day. So I've been fine for a long time. I come down this way. The last time I was down this way, the first day I got here, I ripped that mole open. I just got out of Ethan's car. I turned in the corner. You know how the door comes up and it kind of hooks there because it closes and seals. And I turned and took the corner of that door and went right across that mole. And I said, oh my goodness. No, I'm believing that thing is healing as I'm preaching. So you're not going to have to. Ethan was my nurse, man. He was good, buddy. You wouldn't believe my shirt. He's such a cool, calm customer. I just met him, right? But see, you couldn't tell I just had that happen. My shirt, it's really bloody, ain't it, buddy? He said, after he got me all patched up, we got in the car. I said, I can't believe. He said, I don't think I ever saw that much blood come out of anybody ever. Because it looked like I was bleeding to death, if you look at my shirt. Oh, no, you have no idea. It's that big, just solid, sopping, wet red. And then the whole way down to the tail of the shirt, it's red. The whole way. The whole way. So I had to take my shirt off, and he had to patch me up. But you can't tell none of that happened. He handled it. He was just as cool as I said, I'm leaning up so I don't bleed on his car. I'm holding my hand here so it doesn't get all over my pants. So I'm trying to build a dam. And am I joking, Ethan? I'm not joking, am I? My shirt was stuck tight to my back because it was so wet with blood. It was stuck to my back, just sticking to my back. It was unbelievable. It was the last time I was down here this happened. So I'll keep coming. So if you do hug me, be gentle on this side. I'm believing for that thing to be all right. So we slapped some big old band-aids over it and put a big old tissue on there. But who knows things happen? Who knows they can happen at the most inconvenient time? So if I was here to preach and I was all caught up in preaching my message, maybe even trying to impress you or make sure it came out good, and then right before it happens, and if I had that kind of mind, oh, that foul devil, he's trying, he ain't gonna stop the move of God. Come on, stop. Stop. You cut open a mole right before service. Just stop. Don't spiritualize it and make it some big demonic strategy unfolding to rob you of your gift and salvation and steal Jesus out of Central Church. You just cut open your mole, man. It's all good. It'll work out. You get it? I mean, some people just get to, now what door did I open? Why did that happen? Was God trying to test? And next thing you know, you got so many questions, you clouded over everything you know. Y'all good? I was giving them a heads up that my mole was severed, Rusty, buddy. He loves me so much. Let's finish this. Till we all come to what? The unity of what? I mean, what better illustration than you can get from me and my sister? Do you live around here? Where are you from? So she lives in Ohio. I live in Pennsylvania. So we're probably definitely 5 hours apart, if not more. We can wake up every day 5 hours apart, maybe never see her again. Both live for the same reason, be an active part of the vital part of the body of Christ. We're the army of God that's rising up. Even though our arms aren't locked, our faith is unified and it has impact because we're on this thing and in this thing for the same reason. You get it? That's what makes us one. That's what makes the body of Christ powerful. That's why you can't hardly measure this room if we all start living that right there. You really can't measure the impact that could have if we just wake up in the morning to live what we're talking about and just start saying, you know what? This isn't about God taking care of me and just providing for me and protecting me and keeping me from COVID and picking my candidate in the election. This is about, I had to slip that in there. This is about God shining through me, loving through me, and being through me everything he paid for, because I'm in this thing for keeps and I'm willing and I'm surrendered. Are you all with me? And I'll be honest, that's the only place your life's going to actually be truly fun, steadfastly fun. You know, the highs and lows people experience, it's not like that when you live the gospel. Circumstances are bonkers sometimes, but the highs and lows, no. You're just in this place where you see and you're okay. Wouldn't that be cool? I think that would be like freedom. I think we think freedom is just everything glassy. Just seas, glassy seas, no wind. Just the right temperature and just the right amount of sun. Just this heavenly picture. It probably has nothing to do with the gospel. I mean, the gospel is probably like a wise man who hears and does, and the winds and rains come and beat vehemently on their life and their house. What's the gospel telling you? Storm's coming. Just giving you a heads up. You can hear and do, or you can hear and not do. I like to translate hear and do into hear and become. Because we don't work our way. It's because that's an old covenant mentality, but a hear and become. So if you hear and become everything he paid for through a place of prayer, and the storm comes, does it come to only the foolish, or does it come to the wise and the foolish? So it isn't that you opened a door. Hello? Now, who knows? I understand you can open a door. But we always think if something goes wrong, we open the door. Sometimes things go wrong just because things go wrong. Because you're on the earth. And the storm's coming. So you hear the word. It says the sower sows the word, and Satan immediately comes for the word's sake. What's he trying to do? Snatch the word from you and make sure you don't stay excited or get excited about something that brings freedom and releases the kingdom. He's going to make sure you take it personal and you don't even realize he's coming for the word. You just think he's coming for you. And then you react and the word gets stolen, or you stand and respond in Christ and the word gets established. And now his attempt to break you backfired and helped make you, because you believe. Are you with me? Or you can fall apart and cry and call for prayer. And here's the stuff nobody's talking about. And people would get mad at some folks, I guess, but I'll let you get mad at me. You don't have to get mad at anybody else. Calling for prayer in that situation has absolutely nothing to do with nothing. It's a perspective that needs to change. So when you call for prayer, you're hoping the circumstance goes away or never happens again, and you're not even getting the message, which assures it's going to keep happening. So it's not prayer you need in a situation like that. It's truth. Prayer has its place. Praying for all men, praying for those in authority, pray for a lost loved one, pray for somebody to get touched by God in the middle of the night. Who knows? Prayer has some cool places to take it. Prayer. But that situation right there, it's not prayer. It's your perspective. If you keep getting prayer without changing your perspective, it's your perspectives that's producing the fallout. It's your perspective that's creating all the adverse emotion. Watch this. If you leave selfishness in a person's life, he doesn't have to try to be offended. He's gonna be, because selfishness will get rubbed in offense. But watch. If through prayer you sincerely take selfishness out of that person and he truly is thinking for the kingdom and for the sake of others, you cannot offend that man because it has no place to land, because you took the landing strip away, self-centeredness. Are you with me? So that's why Jesus said, if anybody comes after me, not prays to go to heaven, if anybody's going to come after me, follow me, they got to deny them, Because self is the platform for all this stuff to manifest that doesn't produce life or light. So he said, deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. That's a place of prayer. That's not like some brutal legalistic. It's a place of, wow, you never made me for me. Man, you made me to walk in love. You didn't make me to take account of suffered wrongs and get hurt and broken and frustrated. Oh my goodness, I see it now. I was born into Adam, but now I'm born again. Man, what was flesh, but what's spirit is spirit. And I appreciate your ways, your heart, your nature, and your life inside of me. Man, I just put off the old and gladly put on the new. Man, I thank you, Father, when I see people, I see what you see. I see what was always there the whole time. And I thank you, Father, nobody owes me a thing. You're doing a work in me, and I appreciate it. Would you continue to father me and lead me and guide me in all truth? I so appreciate being your boy. Thanks for loving me. That's prayer. That's communion. That's you putting off, putting on. What happens? Every time you release faith into these truths, grace comes to make them your reality. So now you get up from this place and go into your day, and what you put on begins to function. Now you're not biting your lip to apply a sermon. You became the sermon, and the word became flesh. Now you're not trying to be okay. You are okay. Why? Because of what you see and believe. And 3 months ago, you'd have been broken, hurt, and devastated and thinking you needed prayer. Now you're not even moved. Why? Because you changed in the place of prayer. So you weren't just praying for the thing to change. You changed in the place of prayer. What's that? Transformed by... Come on, that's not a magic wand. That's not just Jesus saying, be okay. Come on, I think that's what we think. I think we're waiting for Jesus to pull out his magic wand and touch us on the shoulder and we just see different. What'd you say? No, it didn't hurt at all. Say it again. That's not it. Transformed by Jesus. Am I messing up? Are we okay? I have fun. I'm sorry. I do have fun. So if we're going to get unified as a family, the unity of faith, we better finish this. Okay. The unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of... Why? Because our faith is going to be attached to who He is. Like the faith, it can't come without Him, right? Like His blood, the sprinkling of His righteous blood, Peter says we all have like precious faith through the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, we see the blood of Jesus shed and the righteous verdict from God the Father, and it instantly produces faith in our heart. Isn't that awesome? So that's not hoping he loves me. It's totally different. All of a sudden, faith springs forth from that place. Do you see? Now watch this. And the knowledge of the Son of God, to a who? To a complete or a perfect man. Complete man. So you're lacking nothing. Like in Ephesians 3, he said, if you and me see and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. If we see the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, if we get it, if we actually get the love of God that comes through Christ, which passes knowledge, we're going to be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, what does that mean? All the fullness, that sounds like a chock full statement. When you look up the words, the only thing you can clearly find is a house with no empty rooms. It's a town with no empty houses. It means you're completely and fully occupied with no vacancies in your life. Fulfilled. Isn't that sweet? Okay, so let's watch this. To a complete man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and doctrine, trickery of men, cunning, craftiness, deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into what? All things, Peter describes all things as pertaining to God, life and godliness, all things into who? Into Him. Do you get this? This is incredible. So that's why I'm teaching like I'm teaching tonight. We're looking at who he is, who he's not. Making sure we're following him, not just ever got caught just singing to him. Are you with me? I'm not being sarcastic. It's real easy to do church and not be her. I'll close with this one. I'm probably late. Am I late? You got to help me with that. It's 8:47. Am I late? I got a couple zealots saying no. How about everybody? Am I late? I got a few zealots. No. Quick no's. You can tell it's zealots. No. And everybody else is quiet. That means I'm borderline late or late. One or the other. So I'll hurry. I'll hurry. You don't want to miss this. This is icing on the cake. You don't want to miss this. Let's not come this far and not go all the way here. Okay. Matthew 24. You ready? This is a little tense. You ready? It's insightful though. It's enlightening. It's not heavy. Verse 5, Matthew 24. Many are going to come in my name. They're going to say I'm the Christ. They're going to deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. You're going to see that stuff and see that your hearts are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. Who knows that everything we've read so far, we've all experienced in our lifetime. There's nothing here that hasn't been unfolding and happening in our lifetime. And way before and probably to come. True? Fair enough? Okay. For nation will rise against nation. We've actually saw that more intense when I was young. Haven't seen it as much, but it's some stuff. There's some hot spots, right? But I think, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but in my impression in the last 10, 12 years, it seems like more of a general world peace and a couple little hot spots. But back when I was a kid, there was always rumors and scary, and there was always these big-time nations all scheming to take out U.S., U.S., big bad, we gonna beat anybody. There was always this thought of war, nuclear war. Who grew up with that thought of nuclear war, and we're all going to be like toasty bacon overnight? Who's ever heard that like over and over and over when you were young growing up? And the whole nuclear weapons thing, and you don't hear about that stuff as much. It seems like a general sense of peace, but still, nations rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Whew, that's happening all the time. Darkness and light. Do you understand that? Do you understand there's a demonic war against the kingdom of God all the time? Now watch. Do you understand that you get to stand on behalf of the king and fight on behalf of the king, and you fight the good fight of faith? You don't fight flesh and blood. Your war is not flesh and blood. Your fight is a good fight of faith. Never losing sight of who you are now that he came and why. Okay, so if you take adversity personal, you're going to make a big mistake. If you respond for the kingdom, for his name's sake, and the sake of others, you'll be in a good place. Come on, it's just true, guys. That's just healthy. That's healthy. That'll just keep you sharp. That'll keep you in a good place. You cannot take adversity personal. You have to think for the kingdom. You can't say, why is this happening to me? That is a dangerous place. When you just have a fallout and you snap like, why is this always happening? Why is this always happening to me? Not again. No, not again. Oh, come on. All you're doing is asking for more without asking for more. Come on. If you say, if this happens one more time, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. All you're doing is asking for more. It's why, are we okay? Are you sure? Are you sure? Your pastor's sure.
Yeah.
Write him the email. Watch this. This is why Christians scripturally never complain. Scripturally, never, ever is a Christian complain. They don't even know how to complain because their life's not their own. They don't complain. They're living for the kingdom. Because when you complain, it's a sure giveaway that there's self-centeredness involved, and you'll be destroyed by the destroyer. You'll be devoured, Corinthians 10, by the one who devours. And then we'll say, why did God let that happen? Complaining. Hey, me, I go to church. I'm just not all in. I don't get it all. And I'm not happy, and I'm sure to let you know it. I sing it's all about Him, but my complaining's saying it's really all about me. So come and strike me and smack me down. Here I am. Complainer. Anointed. Singing the team. Got a good voice, but complainer. Go on a mission trip. Feed the hungry. But man, I ain't happy about everything. And I'll be the first to let you know. Come on, everybody complains. I'm just doing what we all do. He said, I write these things for your admonishment that you never follow their example. Don't you complain like they did. And get destroyed by the one who destroys. Don't you complain and be devoured by the one who devours. Philippians 2, he's raised above every name, every knee, every tongue, earth, heaven, earth, under the earth. He's going to what? Bow and confess that he's Lord. You, therefore. Isn't that amazing how he exalts Jesus to the highest place that can be possibly named? And he immediately says, you, therefore, because he makes us one and brings us right into the equation. And he gives us our response to his majesty and preeminence. And he says, you, therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Why? So you can be seen as a harmless, innocent child in the midst of a perverse generation whom you, shining forth as a light, are holding forth the word of life. It ain't going to happen by complaining. You're just one of the eggs in the basket. Come on. There's no place that tells a Christian it's okay to complain. I just told you two places where it says we never complain. Why? Because our lives aren't our own. It's never about how it's going and how I feel. It's about what I believe and who He is in me. And you say, yeah, but brother, we all have our moments. Why do you give yourself permission to have a moment that's not Him? Why do we need to buy time we don't have to buy or give? Why do we need a justification for not looking like Jesus when we're created to? Because when people say, yeah, but brother, we all have our moments, that's why you have yours. Because you're positioned for it. Now watch. And when it happens, you don't have a conviction for it to change because it's what you believe. You okay? Now watch this. I know my quick's never that quick, but I'm doing... it's 5 of 9. We all right? I'm asking the zealots. Are we all right? Ooh, I got zealots. They're all sitting right around. I can hear them. You other guys are holding to your... sticking to your guns because you didn't say nothing. I'm trying. Nation's going to rise against nation. Famine, pestilence, earthquakes. Who knows? We've seen all these things. There's nothing here we haven't seen in our lives. Now watch. And all these things are the beginning. Just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. I know that happened in the early church days. I don't think we've seen anything like he's talking about in our days. People are afraid to talk about this stuff. It's red letters. It's here. Here's the deal. I get concerned when you're not looking. I'm not judging you. I'm not being self-righteous and proud when I say this. When you're not looking and I'm praying about this stuff, I get concerned. And I cry when you're not really unfolds and breaks out, I hope we are prepared to do more than picket and protest and stand for our rights. I hope we're ready to shine and be like Jesus and give up our lives if need be, but not compromise. I hope we're understanding Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the only way the perverse king's going to change is when he sees the fourth one standing there, the Son of God. So fire if you must. What is your fire to us, O King? We don't even have a need to answer you in the matter. Isn't that in your Bible? So it was never about the fire, was it? It was about who the Lord was and who they believed, and they are not going to bow to something that's not Lord. Whether they live or whether they die, what is your fire to us? We have to be careful that we get that and don't go around that and have a survival mentality. I've never seen a Christian with a survival mentality free and shine consistent light ever in 26 years. Because it's not possible to be free if you're in survival mode. Your circumstances will speak louder than truth, and truth's the only thing you find freedom through. So all of a sudden, who you are and how you are is decided by how life's unfolding instead of who he is in you and why. You good? So here's the punchline. Then many are going to be offended. Why? Because they're going to deliver you up and kill you. And they're going to be hated. You're going to be hated by all nations for my name's sake. The reason he called the children of Israel back in Ezekiel wasn't for their sake, but for his great name's sake. Now they're going to kill us for his name's sake. Why? Because we're going to live true to his name's sake. And it's going to be so contrary and perverse and convicting to where they're living from, it'd be easier to kill you. It's here. And many are going to be offended. That doesn't just mean people with people. Many will get offended at God because a loved one might die. How many people have you seen lose a loved one and their whole spiritual life changes? Their whole view of God changes. Their intimacy and their love for the Lord changes. Why? Because they coveted the gift of life instead of the giver of life. And they valued the person above the one that gave you the gift called life. And lose sight of eternal life and live for the here and now moment, which is super temporal. Who's learned that? I've said it my whole Christian life, whether I've totally understood it or not. I just knew it was right. I see it now. I used to say it just because I knew it was right. I'd say, look, I could lose the closest person to my life and it doesn't change why I'm on the earth and who God is, and we're going to live for that day. So if I do lose somebody really dear to me, it should be all the more incentive to go after God all the more and make sure I run across that line with vigor, because that's what faith says, because nobody lost a thing because we already won. So you can't afford sentiment. You got to live by faith. I'm talking losing a child. I'm talking losing a spouse. And I'm not saying it's not physical loss and it's not painful and not real. Guys, I'm not. What I'm saying is it should never supersede the purpose, the call, and faith. And the fact that life is so fragile and there seems to be no guarantees in those situations, why don't we just run hard today while we have today? And why don't we make it count while we have it? Rather than sit back and get heartbroken, discouraged, or in despair and have a day like the psalmist says that we can't even account for. Are you with me? So here's the deal. Many are going to be offended. And then you know what's going to happen when they get offended? Because that's self-centeredness deluxe. Watch. Then they're going to betray one another. And you know what's going to end up? People are going to start hating one another. And right when people get in this messy place, guess what's going to happen? All kind of voices are going to rise up because they're vulnerable. And false prophets are going to start speaking. Why? Because they're going to play on the perversity of motive. Ain't that something? Not an accident that that's right on the heels of offended, betraying, and hating, that prophets are going to speak right on the heels of that condition of the heart. Because it's going to take advantage of vulnerability. The timing's on purpose. And here's the punchline, and this one makes me cry a lot. And because lawlessness will, not might, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will, the love of many will grow cold. So you got to make sure you're not many. And we got to make sure many isn't many. Because anybody's too many. Let's make sure many isn't many. Come on, he is writing this out and warning us, people. What he's saying is the goal of our instruction is love, Pastor Kurt. And if we miss that, we've missed the point. And if we let this stuff cancel out love, it's the whole purpose of this stuff. So this stuff isn't to crush you and give you a bad, challenging day. This stuff is to take love off the earth so Christ can't shine and the kingdom of God could never be established. You hear me? So watch this. And because of lawlessness abounding, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Let me help you with something. He's not talking about going to heaven. That word saved there has nothing to do with going to heaven. It's not a spiritual destiny. He's not saying heaven versus hell in the scripture. What he's saying is saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. You're going to walk in the salvation of the Lord if you hold fast to your love. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions is going to be in the safe place of love in the midst of lawlessness. Watch. It's exactly where Jesus walked the whole time he was on the earth. Right there where he's talking. Ain't it amazing he wasn't hanging on the cross going, "You bunch of idiots, are you kidding me? Do you realize when he came into Jerusalem, they're throwing the palm branches and Hosanna in the highest, and the next several days he did miracles, like miracles. Like blindness and all kinds of stuff. And the children were singing Hosanna. And the Pharisees were yelling at them and testing Jesus. And he's just shining as a light. And all of a sudden, in the midst of doing all them miracles, they're yelling, "Barabbas, kill him." On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. It says that on purpose. You got to make sure on the night you're betrayed, you're not crying and calling a friend. Make sure your bread is broken. Because that's called following Jesus. Following Jesus isn't blessings. It's selfless love. Following Jesus is seeing the value of every man, whether they see it or not. Following Jesus is never letting where men are or aren't decide where you are, because he already settled that truth. You don't let what men see or don't see become your vision. He's the light of the world. Come on. If you've struggled tonight with a hard heart, if you struggle with hurt, if you struggle getting over things that you feel like people should know better, man, stop waiting for them to change and make sure you pursue this place you're called to live. Get alone with God and thank him that his eyes are in you and that you never again are okay just seeing a man for what he appears to be, but you want to see a man for what he's created to be so you can rightly love him and pray for him from a place of faith. You don't pray because you're problem driven. You don't pray because you're scared half to death. You don't pray because you know if God would change them, your day would go better. You pray because if they really knew him, they wouldn't be living that way. And if they really saw clear, their life would already look different. Come on. The people that did the worst things in your life to you, if they really knew Jesus and they really loved him and were filled with Holy Spirit, they would have never did what they did. That should make you cry for them, not because of them. Come on, I'm just calling you to this place. Hey, you're the ones that put this up here. And even if you didn't put it up here, you come here. I got him, man. I got him. Hey, over here. We got the whole church covered. I'm telling you, that's so impressive to me. Isn't that powerful? Look, right there is why we gather. And if we gather for any other reason, there could be some good ones. It's never greater than that. That's why we gather. Because that's what he paid for. It's called the embodiment of Christ. Y'all good? Let's do something real quick. We came this far. Can we pray for the sick real quick? Would you guys be okay?
You wouldn't mind like Jesus coming in and fixing a body or two, would you? It's never too late for that, is it? I'm just seeing if my zealots are still zealous and if I can get an extra amen or two out of my neutral crowd. No, you're so good. It would be easy if you played.
We're going to make the room as dry as we can. He's asking if he should play. Who knows? That's tempting. Get thee behind me, brother. For thou art a stumbling block unto me. That would be so good if you played and sang. I never have the worship team come up when we do this. There's a reason. Because when you stop somebody out there advancing the kingdom everywhere we go, you just don't have him with you. It would be great if you could just pull him out. Just pull him out, open your wallet, and he would just stand up like one of them cards. He would just pop up, little version, alive. Oh my goodness, that would be like so, and he'd be like, Shabba, woo! It'd be easy, brother. But it's just not the way it's happening. Sometimes you have your own feelings, apprehensions. Sometimes you have the role of their eyes. Sometimes it just doesn't feel all that spiritual. Is it okay if we talk that way? And sometimes you feel nervous and sometimes you ain't sure. But there you are because you got convictions and somehow this happened and you're in that place. It would be so much easier if you were with us all, brother. So here's what we're going to do. When you pray for the sick, I'll do this as timely as we can. When we pray for the sick, you're going to find a whole bunch of different sicknesses and injuries and stuff. Who knows? There's a whole list of stuff going on. But there's two categories. You're going to find people out there that if they were healed, they wouldn't know it because it's something that comes and goes. It's something they don't have in the moment, something they can't tell, something that's internal that they only know because of a test. They might have something growing in there that's obstructing something, but they can't feel it and tell. They need another picture. They might have something in their blood that they can't tell, but that sure shows up. And it's causing this and that or the other in their everyday life or whatever. You guys follow me? Don't make one easier than the other. Don't look for all the people that you wouldn't know if they were healed. That way you can just pray and go your way. Same faith, same finished work for both categories. You ever in a line, you ever hear somebody talking about their stuff? You ever wait to check out and you hear somebody right in front of you talking about how hard it was to sleep and how in the middle of the night this thing just starts throbbing somewhere in their body because they've been laying for a while and it wakes them and they have to reap it. Do you ever hear stuff like that? Do you ever hear anybody like say, boy, I'm so glad I don't have a migraine today. I thought for sure it would hit me today. I'm about due any day now. I thought today was it, man. I just get paralyzed. I can't even leave the house. I got to stay in the dark. You ever hear that? When you hear stuff like that, just get involved. Just say, hey, man, I couldn't help but to hear you were just talking right there. And they're paying. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hold them up, you up, or make a scene. But, man, you just pulled on my heart. I would love to pray for you. Can I just pray for you right now? Please don't say, I'd say this a lot. Please don't say no. I do. I say, can I just pray for you now to take 5 seconds? Please don't say no. I wouldn't even ask you if I didn't think God would move. Why would I ask you if I knew nothing would happen? If I already knew, why would I even offer? And that usually gets people's attention. And without doing anything, making a scene, I'll just say, Father, I thank you for your love for them. And I might not even touch them. Nobody even knows I'm personally. And you got the whole COVID thing now and the mask, and it's a little weird. And you're holding your stuff, and you're waiting to pay, and they're next, and the guy's getting paid. And nobody even knows what's going on. They just think you're talking. And Father, I just thank you right now. Never again. Another migraine because of your great love. In Jesus' name, God, thank you. Who knows that that's simple and you can be sincere? Here's what I do know. If you don't step into that and do that, we're probably always going to have nothing. But if you do step into that, we open a door for something. The number one reason I found that Christians won't pray for the sick is because they're afraid nothing will happen. So because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't ever put themselves in the position, so they always have what they fear. Nothing. Ain't that a paradox? So there's Goliath for 40 days shouting him down. He's defeated before he starts. But none of them knew it but David. So for 40 days, they lost by default because they were intimidated by one that was already defeated because he was uncircumcised and outside of the covenant of God. And any one of them Israelites with that faith that David had could have took him out by the hand of God. But they stood there in terror for 40 days and already had the victory. Let's get our hands on the sick. I heard Randy Clark say this years ago. He said, we don't have all the answers in this stuff. I know some of us have prayed and haven't seen it. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have seen things at times. He said, here's what I know. The more people we pray for, the more testimonies we'll hear and the more people will see healed. So let's just get our hands on the sick. Yeah? It's just simple. So we're going to do that tonight, okay? So I'm not going to line you all up. We can do this pretty quick. Here's the first group of people. We'll just roll with this. And we will go not because you're less important. And you watch and see. You watch and see. And you make sure you tell pastor and leaders and one another, especially if you come here. But even if you don't come here and you were just visiting and something changes, make sure you send them an email and say, hey, that Friday or Saturday night when that guy was doing that prayer thing, man, boom, boom. And just let somebody know. Because I'm telling you, this stuff, I'm having the time of my life just overseeing this little moment. Last week was phenomenal in Seattle, and I didn't pray for anybody. I just orchestrated, led, and got people activated. And in a little six-second window, God just started doing stuff. It's fun. One person was 20-some years impaired. One lady came in and couldn't stand for 30 seconds on her feet. And I watched her the rest of the weekend without any aid, walk all around, come up front, testify, lit like a light bulb. Her husband came beside me when she testified and was video and crying. I said, that's your wife? He said, yeah, she's so fired up. I said, so she couldn't do that? He said, sir, she couldn't stand for 30 seconds. Beautiful. And it's not my fault. It's not because I'm so anointed and I lined everybody up and prayed. Just teaching simple things. People are believing and getting involved because the sign follows the... So if we go down in history for anything, let's make sure it's not our name. Let's make sure it's because we were believers. If we're going to be guilty of one thing when we stand before heaven... Make sure heaven says, believer. You get it? So if you got a situation in your body tonight, health-wise, and please participate. Don't bow out. Don't say, can I tell you what this lady said that couldn't stand for 30 seconds? She said, I was so apprehensive to come because of the nature of the services, and I thought they'd be praying for the sick. She said, I dreaded coming. You can ask my husband. I almost backed out many times because I've been prayed for hundreds and hundreds of times, and I told him I'll be a signpost in my condition. Everybody will be stopping and praying for me, and if I leave not healed, it'll be like, here we go again, and all these people praying. She said, I don't even know if I want to go. But she came, and then I said, don't not get involved, and don't say I've been prayed for so many times, and blah, 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 blah. No, we're keeping it simple tonight. You won't even be able to get in the way. I'm going to make it possible so you can't even get in the way. All right? And if you're uncomfortable, I really want you on my team. Because then you're going to really rely on who? Not your ability to pray powerfully. If you have a condition in your body that if you were healed tonight, there'd be no way to physically tell except for simple faith in your heart and just embracing it with thanksgiving, but you wouldn't have an ability to symptomatically check or test without emotion, without music, you would just not be able to know. Time would have to tell, or an x-ray or a checkup, something like that. Something that comes and goes. There's no symptom, but you definitely have a situation that would be amazing to be healed from. Anybody, let me see your hands. If you can, stand to your feet real quick, just so people can see and begin to believe for you. Just stand to your feet real quick. It's only people that wouldn't know if they were healed or whatever they're standing for. You just wouldn't know. I appreciate you standing. Make sure I got everybody. Come on. I'm feeling like I got a couple people holding out on me. Just jump up. Thank you. Please, don't make me call things out. I'm a pretty good fisherman, but I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to go fishing. I'll only go fishing if he sends me there. I'm waiting, just waiting for four more. I need four people that you didn't stand, but you fit this description and you need to jump up real quick and make sure I get my four. If you stood up and I didn't know when I said four, okay, I know I got one. Did I get anybody else? Because I was hearing four real clear. Okay, two. I still need two then. Or did I have somebody else jump up after I said four? Is there anybody I'm missing? She did. I know. I got two. I'm still waiting for two people. You have a condition in your body that if you were healed, did I get them? Yeah? Good, good. Did we get everybody? Did I get my four since I said that? I know, I just know when I hear numbers, so I'm just waiting. So you'd be amazed how sometimes people won't stand up for a very long time, and then God has to give me something to get them to stand up because he wants them involved. Did I get my four? Okay, good. Two. You just stood up? But you? You would know? Yeah, no, I want a person that wouldn't know. Okay, I'm going to move on. We're good. We're going to pray. Stretch your hands to somebody. Just focus on somebody. If you're standing, here's all I want you to do. I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to do anything but this. Watch this. If you're standing right now, here's all I want you to do. Believe in your heart that God has to love you or he'd never send his son. That's all I want you to believe tonight. You know what? God has to love me or I'd never send his son. I found when people go through situations, it's amazing how his love even gets questioned in time, especially if they're suffering. I'm not saying you're doing that, but this is a real safe place to live every day. He has to love me or he'd never send his son. Are you with me? The people standing? So I want you to just believe that in your heart. You might want to even muse that over in your heart and say that back to God. God, I know, Father, that you have to love me or you'd never sent your son. So right now, church, with your hand stretched to somebody, just fix on somebody, just eyeball somebody and just say, be made whole in Jesus' name. Just begin to believe that with the person you're praying for. And if you want to shift and pray for a couple more, you can get zealous and just pray for the room. But Father, we thank you for holding us all through this room. We thank you that every symptom and every reason that every person stood is just vanquished and removed right now by the name and blood of Jesus Christ, healing all through this room in complete wholeness. Father, I thank you not one symptom show up again in Jesus' holy name. Father, thank you. Thank you. Now just thank God that he loves you if you're standing or he'd have never sent his son. Amen? Amen. You can grab your seats. It's that simple. You say, well, that's too simple. No, it cost Jesus a whole lot to be that simple. Don't you miss that. Okay, so the next group is who? People that would know. Like this sister said, I would know. So I need you to stand. If you're sick in this place and you would know if you were healed, I need you to stand to your feet. If you would know, if there's something you, without emotion, without exaggeration, we don't want exaggeration. Exaggeration's lying. We don't want you to, you know, just make it up because we need the right answer. If you're sick in this place in any way in your body, anything less than wholeness, and you would know, if you were healed, I need you to stand to your feet real quick. Okay? Real quick. I got eight people that are still sitting and you have arthritis symptoms and you feel it right now, but you didn't stand up because you've just kind of gotten used to living with it, but you actually feel it in an area in your body and I need you to stand real quick. There's eight of you. Yep. Good, good, good. Stand up. It's arthritis. You feel it. You know it's, you can tell it's there. It's somewhere. Okay? Probably got my eight. That was a lot. Might have got nine. Might have got a bonus. I might have got a bonus. I might have got a bonus. I know this sounds a little embarrassing, but don't be embarrassed. Stuff happens to people. It's a lady, you have a urinary tract infection. There's actually a burning in your bladder area or something, and you didn't stand for some reason. I just heard urinary tract infection, and I heard you're a lady. I need you to stand real quick for me, please. Please. I don't know if you stood. Did anybody see somebody stand? She's trying to hide. Did you stand? Yeah? You stood when I said it? I told you I'm a good fisherman. Now watch this, honey. This is so beautiful. No, yeah. See, that's, you should cry. You know what that's telling me? Watch this. All around this room, there's so many people to pray for. We got plenty of people to pray for. And guess what? He didn't want you not standing because this is real and it's happening. And he wants to heal you in this moment. He just wants you to stand up by faith. Isn't that sweet? Yeah. It's one person, I think you're a guy. It was a car wreck a little while back. It's been a little while. You've been prayed for a bunch too. It grabs you when you look this way. You can't get the whole way back. And it's still that way from a car wreck. It's just simply from a car wreck. Yeah? That's you guys. No, but this guy was sitting. It's a guy that was sitting. I don't think you're the youngest fella in the room either. Please stand. I actually feel like, and I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not even sure that your faith is strong in the way of healing, and maybe that is something you don't even want to push towards, but I'm feeling like I see you sitting here. You're in a car wreck. It's been a handful of years ago, maybe four, and your neck bothers you to this day, and it's definitely a result of the car wreck. Can I have you stand? Did you stand? Let me see who you are. Doesn't go away. I know you're here. Like sometimes I think I hear something, but this is strong. So I need you to stand to your feet quick. Don't wait. The longer you wait, you probably have a harder time standing. Just jump up and say, man, I'm in. I'm going to believe God. In fact, you don't even have to. Just stand up. That'll be good enough for us. We'll do the believing. Did I get the guy? Did he stand? Are you here? Okay. No, I feel like you're in the room, but I appreciate that. Trying to bail me out. Thanks, man. No, I don't need bailed out. I get pretty confident when I'm sure I heard the Lord. I was in a service pleading with a young girl about her liver, and she never stood, and I was crying. I pleaded so hard that I actually was crying from the platform. And as soon as the service was over, she got up and took off, and her family came to me crying and said she was sitting right there. We don't know why she didn't come. You described her to a T. I said, I can't imagine. And then the guy came over. The relative said, I know what happened. There was a man that came as a guest speaker, and somebody said, you got to pray for her, da, da, da. And he portrayed it as a word of knowledge. And nothing ever changed in her liver, and she thought I was doing the same thing. And she got up and left. So I'm giving you one more call. The gentleman with your neck's not 100%. And I know you could say there's people with, oh, that's it. There's people with a whole lot worse out there. Let God heal them. He's not overwhelmed. He can heal everybody. I know that sounds noble, but I feel like that's what your phrase has been. If your spouse is sitting with you and your spouse knows that he said that, elbow him and get him up. No, I feel like I just heard that. Now, I'm being pretty aggressive. I'm actually being pretty aggressive. I feel like you're in the room and you've said that in your heart. Look, it's not a big deal. I can handle it. God, there's a whole lot of people with a whole lot worse. There's people with paralyzed, crippled up bodies. This is just a kink in my neck. But I feel like God wants to do that and empower you. And you might be amazed where that can lead you in time with God. So are you standing? Did I get him? No? Yay? No? Okay. All right. You guys ready? Here's what we're going to do. Now, you're not worshiping the Lord. You're just going to be identified. I need you, if you're standing, just put one hand high in the air so we can see you and leave it up for now. The people sitting,
you're my prayer team. See, kink in the neck, you should have stood. No, I'm just kidding.
You're my prayer team. And if you're nervous, that's amazing. I definitely want you on my team. If you're absolutely dead set against it, nobody's forcing you and we can't force you. I'm just encouraging you. Now watch this. You can't go wrong tonight. I'm only going to give you about 5 or 6 seconds to pray. I'm going to show you what that looks like. We're going to dispel a couple lies and you're going to see God move all through this room because it's his nature. It's not because I'm here. I promise you, it's his nature to heal and to love people through healing. So the people sitting, don't pray yet. Just go claim somebody. Have fun with it. One-on-one till we get the room covered. When they claim you, put your hand down. But I want one-on-one and just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I've never done this before. Or whatever. Just go find somebody. Just go grab somebody. Maybe somebody you don't know, never met. Just go grab somebody. Put your hand down when they claim you. When you have somebody, put your hand down. Only leave your hand up if you're waiting. Okay, just look around. Help me, church. There's plenty of us to cover these people. Come on, I got 3, 4, 5 hands in the front row. I need some people that are sitting just to get involved. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. You're not going to be under as much pressure as you think. So I need some people up here if they can. I still got a couple hands in the room. Can anybody help me yet? Is there anybody that can help me? Are y'all coming to help? Come on, that's great. Tell you what, man. Will you do me a favor? Can you take 2? Can you handle 2? Take those 2 right there. You can handle it. The Jesus in you is able. Thank you, man. Okay. And I still got one here. Can I have somebody that can help me? Thank you so much. I need help up here. And you can still take the 2, my man. I feel like that's a good assignment. Okay, do we got everybody? If we don't have you yet, go like this. Oh, right here? There's a lady right here. Can I have 1 person? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yeah, you can both go back there together. That's cool. You can tag team because we got everybody. Everybody? We got everybody? No, don't get mad at me. Is my guy with the neck here going to say, can we pray? Let me see your hand if you're here, and God, let us pray for you. It's on my heart again. I can't do nothing about that. It's just on my heart again. What's that? Oh, yeah, no, you're already up, girl. You're going to take it. Okay, no, we're good. So here's what we're going to do. Whoever prayed for the sick before? Okay, now watch this. Tell me if this is close or not. When we pray for the sick, we have this tendency, right when we're ready to pray, we get very conscious of what we're going to say and how we're going to say it, and we get super self-conscious in our prayer, and we try to pray right, powerful, or effective. Who knows that what I'm saying just flat out happens to us all the time. So here's the deal. Well, that ain't happening tonight, because watch this. Watch this. Your prayer never heals anybody. It's not your prayer. It's your faith in what he accomplished. It's his finished work. It's not your prayer. If your prayer healed the sick, then it's not the finished work. It's your prayer, and we should all go to prayer college, and you should be the dean. No, it's true. Who's ever prayed, and you got self-conscious, and maybe even stammered a little because you were trying to pray right, hard, powerful, fluent, scriptural, spiritual? Watch. Be healed in Jesus' name's probably plenty. When there's a revelation. So if somebody stood up in that arthritis plea when I said you feel in your body and you said, hey, I'm the one that stood up with the arthritis. And then your person knows that because in a minute we're going to do that. And then all you do is this, watch. Arthritis, you leave in Jesus' name every pain you go and never come back. Thank you, Father. Who knows you can do that in 5 or 6 seconds and be super sincere and put all your faith in his finished work in his great name. Who knows that this thing is simple? You don't have to produce a thing. You believe a thing. Are you with me? You watch and see what he does. It's just fun. I need you to take 3 seconds. This isn't your 5 or 6 second prayer. Just 3 seconds. Look at your person and say, why did you stand so I know what I'm praying for? It's Matthew 17. We're going to say to the mountain. Just give them the 3 second version. 3 second version. Don't give them a long story. Just 3 second version. Y'all ready? We should have it. You ready? I so appreciate you guys participating too. I could feel some like nervousness when you moved around and spread the room. That's good. I'm glad you got up. So are we ready to pray? Y'all know what you're believing for? Okay, so I'm going to say go here in a second, and I'm going to give you 5 or 6 seconds so you speak direct. If they told you, I got degenerate knees, you be completely made whole. Father, I thank you for new cartilage. New tissues in Jesus' name. No more pain. Who knows you can do that in 5, 6 seconds and be sincere? Yeah, if they say a herniated disc, you be completely made whole. Total mobility, no pain in Jesus' name. Who knows we can do this and be real, specific and simple and clear. Amen? Okay, so for 5, 6 seconds, you're going to pray that. And then I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. And when I say wrap it up, that just means bring it into the name of Jesus. A lot of times when I pray for people, I say, Father, thank you so much for your great love, your unstoppable love. I just end with that just because I feel like in my own heart, people don't receive the love of God enough. So sometimes I'll pray in the name of Jesus and I'll say, Father, thank you for your great love. Why? Because it's the love of God that sent Jesus Christ. Right? So After that, then we'll say, okay, wrap it up. You say, in the name of Jesus. Then the people we prayed for, without emotion, we don't have music. I got this room about as dry as you're going to make it. I do, because we're not amping nothing. We're not hyping nothing. This is Jesus. It's his finished work. It's the beauty of who he is. It's just what he does. And we've got to believe that. It's not about us and our emotion and our prayer and our rah-rah in Jesus' name. Just be made whole in Jesus' name. You're going to have 5-6 seconds to see that that happens. So then I'm going to have you check in your body. So all I want the people that are being prayed for that stood up and raised their hands and have a person with them, that's the same as we did with the first group. Wow, it's amazing. You love me. You have to love me or you'd have never sent Jesus tonight. I say thank you for loving me. That's all I want you to do is receive his love and just acknowledge that he loves you while they're praying. You don't have to say it over and over and over. You love me. You love me. You love me. Father, just thank you. You have to love me or you'd have never sent your son. That's what it means. You so loved me. You gave Jesus. And you just believe that tonight. And then after we're done praying, I want you to take your time and check your body without exaggeration, without hype, without trying to say what we're hoping for. I don't want you to look at the big brown eyes of the young girl that prayed for you and think, I can't tell her I'm not healed. That would devastate her. I feel great. It's called lie. Revelation 19 says, you lie, you fry. I don't want you frying. I want you healed. I'm just kidding. So you ready? So when you're healed, then I want you to let me know. But I want you to take your time to make sure you know. We might ask for a couple testimonies and shout it out. What happened? Don't be afraid of that. Be excited about that. If your body doesn't seem to change, you're talking like that, Dan? That's unbelief. Nope, there's three things I see when I pray for the sick initially. I see things change instantly. I see it somewhat change. And I see stuff sit there like it didn't even move. Does that change the truth? Does that change the finished work? Does it rewrite the Bible? So make sure you don't change if that happens. Don't sign off. Don't get logical. Don't get analytical. Here we go again. I knew I should have never stood. It's going to be so uncomfortable. I'm never healed when they pray for me. And somebody shares a testimony. Testimony. See, here's people getting healed. Here we go again. Don't do that. Listen to the testimony. Stay thankful. Appreciate God's love for you and keep checking your body. And like popcorn in a bag, we'll just see things changing. Why? Because faith is the position of your heart. It's not a hit, miss, win, lose. Faith believes. Are you with me? Are you all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, did you? I'm a teacher guy. I want to empower you. If we pray for the sick and I line everybody up and they get healed, who knows, we celebrate that. But if I empower you, I'm doing what I'm called to do. You all ready? You watch and see what Jesus does in this room because he's Lord and he loves us. Okay, look at your person real warm-hearted and make them feel uncomfortable like they're worth the blood of Jesus and all that. Are you ready? 5-6 seconds. You ready? Pray. Give them the kingdom right now. Go ahead. Pray. Direct prayer. Faith says to the mountain. Okay, begin to wrap that up. That's plenty of prayer. That's plenty of faith. Just wrap that up in Jesus' name because he loves you. Just wrap that up. If you were prayed for, receive his love. Thank him that he loves you. Or he'd have never sent his son. Now begin to check your bodies all over this room. That was just 5-6 seconds. That way we can't get self-conscious and we're just believing him. Check your bodies all over the room. Check your bodies. If you know you're healed, sometimes people know right away. Sometimes they just have to make sure and find out and be honest. So make sure you know when you raise your hand. Let me see. When you know your body's healed, let me know who you are. As soon as you know for sure. Okay, you know for sure. You're healed? You know for sure? Good. Anybody else? Just checking your body. Stay with me here. Stay with me. I know it's late. Anybody else? You know for sure? You know you're healed? Beautiful. Anybody else? Hey, it's all right here in this little corner. What are you trying to tell me here? Anybody else? Check your bodies. Make sure I see you. Make sure I know if you're healed. Okay? Do you know for sure?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else? Just giving you time to check a little bit. Now you watch. We're going to do this. This will be fun. This will be good. Do we got anybody else? And nobody in this wing over here, this section? Okay, we're going to do like a 9-day fast and prayer. No, just kidding. I'm having fun. Is there anybody else that I'm missing? Just stay where you're at. Now watch this. Just pay attention. Who's one of my persons that's healed? Okay, can you tell me what happened and how you know you're healed for sure? So your hands always ache? Can you always find a symptom? Is there ever a time where you don't have a symptom if you look for it? Okay, so what was it like before they prayed? Okay. Aching. She's talking about arthritis, fingers, hands, right? You don't have anything. Not one trace. Nothing. Good. And total mobility, strength. Okay, Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing. Now watch this. You just listen to that. And if you were prayed for and you don't... Let me ask you this. Who feels like they didn't raise their hand, but they're somewhat changed, or they changed somewhat and they just didn't raise their hand because they're not 100%, but they know they're different than they were? Who is that? Oh, wow, that's a bunch. 20. That's 20 plus people. Okay. So watch this. So now I needed you guys to stay engaged. Is your person still around that prayed for you? Don't look for another person. You're not allowed to get another person. You're stuck with your person. Is your person still close by? Okay. The people that were prayed for and got somewhat better, we always just pray one more time and pray the same thing. Watch. If you weren't experiencing any change, check your body after you hear a testimony and just listen to one more testimony and check your body and thank God he loves you and watch and see. I'm telling you, things are going to change. You want to share something? What happened to you in the room? So it was real easy to know it was there. Did you have a lot of symptoms? So you're not seeing her. She goes, oh, yes. Okay. So it was obvious and you know for sure. Okay. So why did you raise your hand? What's going on right now? But did you, did you raise your hand about being healed? Okay. So why did you raise your hand? What happened when you were prayed for? Like, do you feel? Okay. So you don't have pain? Do you usually have pain? If you would move around, would you be able to find pain almost all the time if you check for it? It was bad for sure. Can you find any right now? Do you have any problem, any pain? No. So it just left. That's beautiful. No, that's beautiful. Check your bodies all over the place. When you hear a testimony, they got to say, Father, wow, thank you for what you're doing in the room. I appreciate you and I thank you for loving me. And check your bodies right now. Anybody else have a testimony? Testimony. They want to share a testimony. I had like a handful of people that said they were healed. So don't back out on me. Yeah, sure. So here's another author. It hurt just to not do anything. So it just ached all the time. You don't have anything. Can you flex, move, bend? Totally good. Beautiful. No, that's beautiful. So what are we doing? We're just believing and receiving and we're not stopping believing. So I preached this for years. I think you'll get this. A Christian has one response when they're being prayed for and when they're believing for healing. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. I appreciate your great love. Thanks for what you're doing and restoring all things in my body. Period. You go to bed, you wake up, you live that way. Whether you focus for a season on that or whether you just believe that in your heart, it's believing. Are you following me? Let me see my group real quick that was somewhat healed. You were somewhat healed. Not all the way. Is your person close by? Is your person close by? Grab them real quick. Grab your person. Raise your hand. Say, I was somewhat healed. Encourage them. Say, hey, you know what? I was 40%. I was 60%. I was 70%. Do a 5-second prayer real quick right now with them. Okay? The other group I need, you don't feel like anything changed in your body. You were prayed for and it's exactly the same as it was before they prayed. Let me see you. I need to see. Can you stand up and don't feel focused on? We want to do this on purpose. You don't feel anything changed in your body. Is your person close by? Do you have your person? Don't look for another person. Okay. Get your person. Come on, stick with me. This will be fun. God's going to teach us something. So these are people that nothing changed. Nothing changed. Did something get better? Did something change?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Good. Good. Okay, this is the people that nothing changed. Take 5 seconds. Now watch. Pray the same stuff you prayed. Don't grab for straws and pray something else. The same way you believe, just pray that same thing over and one more time. Would you? And let's see what happens in the room. This is the whole group of people that felt no change. Same thing, same 5 seconds. Jesus' name, come Lord, thank you. And we're about done, guys. We're about done. Just don't get familiar or tired of this. Okay, thank you, Lord. Good. Thank you, God. Yeah, it's good. Okay. Thank God he loves you. Start checking your bodies. My first group, the people that were somewhat changed, and we prayed again. Did anybody get even better or get all the way better? All the way? That's somewhat? Somewhat. I looked and saw a somewhat. So the first time, nothing? Or a little bit? Talking to Missy. Oh, good. So that was as they prayed. What's that teach you guys? We never let go. Anybody else get even better or all the way? Has it been not able to do that? You couldn't flex it like that and not feel it? Wow. And you don't have any right now? Wow. Did you pray for her? Yeah? You look excited. I'm having fun looking at you. Would you do me a favor, her a favor, and just put your hand on her shoulder and just believe this will never come back, that she won't wake up and feel it, that it won't come back tomorrow, it won't come back next week, that she's completely whole in Jesus' name. That's great. Anybody else get better or all the way in that group that was somewhat healed? Anybody? Changed? 90%. Awesome. Better. When I'm out on the street and somebody says they're better and I ask to pray again, I've never had nobody say no. If they're legit and saying better, guess what? They're like, what? Yeah. And I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but I've learned this. Better plus better plus better sooner or later hits what? Completely whole. Okay, now my group that had nothing change the first time we prayed, and we prayed 5 more seconds just a minute ago. Did anybody get somewhat better in that group or change at all in that group that had nothing change the first time? Anybody? Something changed that time?
Yeah, starting to get like, he said the second time, he said, I'm going to start feeling some tingling in your knees. It's going to work your way up. And I was already standing when you talked about the neck.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a car accident or anything. I just slept on my neck wrong. So I couldn't turn my neck anyway. I couldn't.
So that opened up for you? Good, man. But you feel something getting better in your knees?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the first time it was still the same?
Still the same.
Okay. So what's the Lord teaching us in all this? We're not, look, faith isn't hit, miss, win, or lose. We're not risking it. It's not like make it, break it. It's believing God. Anybody else have some change and you had no change up until now and now you're experiencing some change? Right here? For sure? Beautiful.
I threw my shoulder out and pulled up on ice this winter, and it's been bothering me ever since. Kind of limited mobility. And
now it's good? Yeah. You got something going on? You look smiley. What?
I was in a car wreck and I broke my back from T1 to T4.
She broke her back in a car wreck.
Yeah, and I have a lot of burning, but that burning is gone.
It's gone. You don't have any burning. Was that all the time burning? All the time.
My back consistently hurts, but it doesn't.
You have no pain right now. Father, thank you. Never again come back. Amen? See, this is just fun. Look at all these hands popping up. I told you popcorn in a bag. Watch. If you got prayed for tonight, when you leave here, you be personal when nobody's looking. You'd be like, Father, thank you for what you're doing to me. I so appreciate your love for me. I got a word, Pastor Kurt. I got a word in Seattle about sleep disorder, and I used to get it a lot, but I only say it. I don't do it as a thing. I just do it when I hear it, and I did this word in Seattle because I had heard it, and I'm not joking. It's like 100% result when we do this, and we don't pray for anybody. We just send them home to have relationship. And if they're on some prescribed thing or some med thing, you just take it aside and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not condemned to take this. This has helped somewhat. Maybe it hasn't helped a lot. But you know what? Tonight I'm just going with you, and I'm just going with your love because I believe you love me or you'd have never sent your son. And I appreciate it. I'm going to sleep because of you. They crawl in bed and sleep. This lady, I'm not kidding you, this lady was almost 40 years old. And she has no memory in her life of one night without trauma in the sleep. Not one night ever in her life from as far back as she can remember as a little girl. Not one night in her life that she went to sleep without trauma in the middle of the night. Horror and nightmares and trauma. She went to bed that night and she talked to the Lord and communed with him with nobody around. Crashed, fell asleep for like 7-8 hours, never got disturbed. Her husband said, I have never seen her so peaceful. She's usually rolling, talking, wrestling, fighting, struggling. The next night, bam. She slept. First time she could ever remember, almost 40 years old. So if that's you tonight and you go home, you just, Lord, sometimes we're always asking for prayer and we're missing being personal with Jesus. We're actually missing relationship, always asking for prayer. Sometimes we need to just lay in our bed and just talk to him about it. And your hip grabs you in the middle of the night and you say, you know what, Lord, your love is amazing for me. And I thank you for what you're doing in my body and in my hip. And man, I just appreciate your love. Instead of, oh, here we go again. Why doesn't God heal this? Man, if this gets any worse, I'm going to have to get it looked at. Now you got yourself way out here. No. God, you're so good to me. You love me. And then boom, that's how your hip changes. Make sense? Do I have one more testimony? Somebody want to share one more testimony? Yes. You have no pain? Have you had real serious arthritis? What have you had in your life? Has it been arthritis against your body? 40 years old. Stretch your hands to her, guys. Who prayed for you? Who prayed for you? Who was the one that prayed? You did? You all did. Second time. Oh, you switched people, huh? You got somebody anointed. I'm just kidding. Let's stretch and believe. Father, we just thank you for the restoration of her body. We just thank you that there would be a peace of no pain, like literally no pain, God, in her body. And we just thank you for a restoration of her joints, her limbs, her bones, her muscles. Spirit of God, come and just empower this woman to live her life free and without pain. Joints and bones, you be restored by the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Okay, I got like crazy late, I know. I'll be real good tomorrow because there's two services. No, I will. I forgive you for your unbelief. It's okay.